All right, guys, I got to say, one of the funnest interviews I've done in a long time. Today, you're going to meet the two owners, Seth and Zach, Acri Lago Tequila. These guys are freaking awesome, and this interview is so much fun. So stick around. You're going to love this one. It's Tasting Tequila with Brad. All right, guys, I am fired up to have you guys here. And from the talking we've done a little bit before we got started, I have a feeling this one is going to be crazy and a lot of fun. So I'm here with Seth and Zach, the owners of Acri Lago Tequila. Guys, tell us how you're doing and a little bit about you.
Hey, Brad. Great to be here. I'm Seth. That's my brother Zach on the other screen over there. He can say hi.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Oh, dude, we're fired up to have you. So tell me, where are you guys at right now? What city, what state, where are you at?
Zach and I are sitting in our warehouse, showroom, storefront, whatever, in Portland, Oregon. That's where we're based out of. We're a Pacific Northwest brand. And Zach and I own a store called Oddball Shoes. We sell shoes for guys with big feet. We've been doing it for 28 years. We are currently sitting in that store and walked away from our other responsibilities to meet with you and have a few tequilas.
Okay. You have to tell me, how did you get started making shoes for people with big feet?
We, out of college, which was about 30 years ago for Seth, about 29 years ago for myself, we had a family business that was wholesale plumbing, and we were invited to work and help operate and maybe one day take over that business. And we used to work there in middle school and high school in the warehouse and delivering showers and toilets and talking to the plumbers and the construction guys. And that was an awesome part about it, that working with dad and then my uncle and my grandfather and watching the way that they interacted, and that didn't seem that it was what we wanted to do. And I don't know, sometimes working with family is difficult, where Seth and I have a different relationship, and we both wore size 16 shoe, and it sort of fell into our laps that we were heading to Vegas at the same time as shoe show was going on, that we had a cousin that was involved in the shoe finding business, and basically went to the shoe store. You needed a name to get into the show. So Seth randomly wrote down Oddball on a napkin, handed it over and said, here's our business card. And they said, welcome to the show. And we walked around the show and went to brands that we already had in our closet. And we started ordering shoes. Got a few cartons home to mom and dad's house in the garage. And finally the cartons started to add up. And we're like, we got to find a place to sell them. So we had a little 900 square foot store in Northwest Portland. And here we are 28 years later.
That's incredible. So a lot of NBA players, a lot of NFL players, they all need big shoes. Do you have some of those guys as customers over the years?
Absolutely. You know, there's the big guys come in all sorts of industries, just tall, dorky guys like my brother and I, some to professional athletes, actors, janitors, students. It doesn't matter. The Bigfoot spectrum is wide. The demographic is tight because we're a niche business, but the people are diverse. And it's been a fun business. I wouldn't say it's been a lot. You know, we've rode some peaks and valleys, but we fought through it and we've enjoyed it. You know, but you do something for so long, it becomes a little bit stale. You get a little bit bitter. You're like, oh, why do I continue to do this year after year? But we have fought through those feelings and continue to run that. In addition, now we've added this secondary project of tequila. And so those two things, now we are shoe, sock, and tequila salespeople. And they all come with, we all take on different roles and responsibilities. We wear different hats, but we enjoy it. And Zach's right. You know, the shoe thing was born out of necessity. We were frustrated with what the selection was, what it looked like, what the offerings were for people like us. It was almost insulting. So we took it upon ourselves to change that and kind of revolutionize our little market. It's gone well. I think we're recognized as probably the world leader in large shoes, whatever that means. But people come to us. We created a community of about 50,000 people who look to us for products, for answers to their issues. So it's been fun. It's been rewarding to see and bring a group of people together. So it's, for lack of a better word, you know, we are hustling all the time and trying to create opportunities for ourselves.
Hey, when the shoe fits, right?
That's what I was trying to say, but I think I've had one tequila too many to already start the show. So hopefully I'll be able to.
When the shoe fits, drink more tequila.
Exactly. Well, that's fantastic. I will be a tequila customer, but I'm about half of the size shoe you said, like an 8.5 or a 9 is like my shoe. So
that's too bad.
Help you out a whole lot there.
we'll get you on the stretcher. We'll get you on the stretcher. And a size is only a number. So yeah. If you want to buy 16s or 17s, I'll ship them to your house.
How did you go from the shoe business to something as completely different as the tequila world?
That is a great question. It's a complete pivot from what we do. We stumbled onto this. We weren't looking to make tequila or be in the tequila business. We know nothing about beverages other than we are true consumptionists. We like to consume, sometimes too much, sometimes in copious amounts, large quantities, whatever that looks like. So we came at this from a consumer angle. We had gone to Mexico with a friend of ours who was a shoemaker from Italy. And he had somebody we had met 25 years ago and became friends with. And we'd always said, hey, would you help us develop our own line of shoes? Because when you run your own business and you're so reliant on other people like we are, Oddball is basically, we bring other brands together, curate the brands, curate the selection, and then push them out to the market. Mm-hmm. And the market dictates what our buying looks like, what we're buying, what we're selling. But at some point, even though our customers may want something, we can't get that product for them. The manufacturers simply don't make them. They under allocate. There's all sorts of various things that go into that. So we wanted to have something that we could call our own, something that we could be proud of, something that we say, hey, Oddball community, we're bringing you a product that we researched, developed ourselves, and something we could be proud of, something we could put our name on. And that's where Acre came from. We thought we'd have our own line of footwear. It'd be called Acre, kind of a play on words. How big's your shoes? Oh, it's 3 acres, 4 acres, whatever. It's kind of make fun of ourselves. Zach and I kind of like take it on that part. We've always been made fun of in a positive way. People being tall, we're both 6'6". People have always pointed out us as being tall or oddballs. And so we've kind of run with it and we've kind of accepted it and embraced it. And that's kind of who we are. And so to be able to create something of our own really meant something to us. So that led us to Mexico and a meeting with a family that had been making shoes in León, Guanajuato for several years, decades. We became friends with them. And I think Zach could pick up from there, but we just started going down to Mexico with the idea to create our own line of footwear and leather, like handmade, really, nice stuff, not overpriced, approachable, everyday boots, shoes that you could wear and feel good about. And we were just going to do it in our oddball sizes, size 13, 14 above for men.
You're going down a lot and getting samples sent back and forth from Mexico. And sometimes it's hard to do business over the phone or when up right before the pandemic, it was whatever over Zoom, before Zoom, it was over voice, whatever, WhatsApp and other kind of video conferencing. And we figured we need to go down there if we really want to get the shoes over the finish line, because it's a lot easier to talk to the manufacturer, have them fit everything there, make the notes so everybody gets on the same page. So we're going down there 4 or 5 times. And every time we went, the project just seemed to get being derailed. The factory didn't want to do it. So we had to switch factories. The new factory shoes didn't fit as well as the last factory. We found the factory and the quantities and the pricing went way up. And the family we were working with, we would go out after we're done with the shoes and the leather and the tanneries and whatever, the last people and the outsole people, we'd go out for dinner and drinks. And in that time, we're both in our 40s, and these kids that were showing us around were in their 20s, and we're there on vacation away from our family. It's business, but we're like, let's go out. Let's go experience a culture. Let's go have some tequila. And they're like, it's like a Tuesday night. We have to go out. I'm like, yeah, we're in town. Let's go out. So we're sitting around one night, and Diego's like, when I make your shoes or help you get the Acre shoes, why don't we put a little bottle of tequila in the box, and we could have shoes made in Mexico, and we can have tequila made in Mexico. We're like, it's just way, way, way over our heads, skis. And we're like, how does it work? He goes, I don't know, but my uncle Jorge that we used to know when he first started this project, he has a friend named Juan and you need to meet Juan. And we're like, okay, how do we meet Juan? So we get up the next morning, we go to the warehouse or whatever, excuse me, the shop, and we're working on designs, we're making fit notes. And he goes, hey, Juan will meet you this evening at a Starbucks. So Seth and I get dropped off at a Starbucks at 10 o'clock on a Friday night in León. And there's this gentleman that's older than with a little backpack and a hood sweatshirt. And he's like, oh, you must be Seth and Zach. And I mean, sure, we stand out. We're in the middle of León. There's not a lot of tall people or gringos that are in there on a Friday night. And he's like, we better go upstairs to drink tequila because we don't want to do that in Starbucks because that's not proper. So we got some little paper cups and we went upstairs at the top of the rooftop at Starbucks, a beautiful night. And there was Juan Francisco and he brought out 3 or 4 squishy bottles. Sort of like when you go to the distilleries or if you go to Oaxaca, they get the samples in squishy bottles. And we drank tequila out of these squishy bottles. And he told us all about his brand, which is 1921, that he helped start. And we told him that we want to make tequila. And how does it happen? He goes, well, I can introduce you and I'm willing to work with you and show you and everybody knows, but we have to go up to Los Altos, the highlands. And we're like, what's that? They're like, if we go east from here up in the hills, that's where our tequila's made. We're like, perfect. Can we go tomorrow? He's like, no, it doesn't work that way. come back in a few weeks and we'll go. So long story short, we went back in a few weeks and here we are today.
It's incredible. Did that lead you right to NOM 1580, the distillery that you're making the tequila at now?
It did. It was our first stop. Well, we were so excited that Juan Francisco was willing to do this with us. You know, this all started as an offhanded joke. Like, you guys are obsessed with coming to Mexico. Like, we were going down once a month to do the shoe thing. Nothing was really getting pushed across the finish line, like Zach said, but we kept like diving into it. We really wanted to have a reason to be in Mexico. It brought a lot of joy to us. It got us out of the store. It got us experimenting different things. And it got us trying to build something on our own. If he hadn't made that offhanded comment about, oh, it'd be so great to have a shoebox with a little compartment in it with a little bottle of hidden tequila that could be yours too, who knows what would happen. But that set something off in Zach and I's head that just set, sounded fascinating. Like, we could actually do something completely different from what we do. And the fact that Juan Francisco was, you know, that night at the Starbucks that we sat there and drank for a couple hours and just told stories. He's like, you guys, let's go on this adventure. I want to take you on this adventure. You guys sound fun. And we're like, all right, let's do it. And so the first stop when we went was NOM 1580. We drove up the long gravel dirt road to the thing. And coming down was a family member of the distillery at the time. And Juan Francisco had used to work at the very start with this distillery. He helped kind of build it to what it was. And we ran into Gabriel and Gabriel was like, hey, Francisco, who are these guys? Who are just so good to see you? And we talked, and instead of going to the store, we turned around and went back to a little restaurant in Jesus Maria called Pollo Santos. And yeah, we sat there and ate rotisserie chicken and drank beer. And we were just talking. He's like, oh, who are these jokers you brought to me, Juan Francisco? And we all became kind of friends. And then he took us back to the distillery and kind of gave us a tour. And we knew right then that it was a special place. You know, it was kind of a off the beaten path place at the time. They had been going through some family transitions. They weren't really producing a ton of stuff. Zach and I knew nothing about this, you know, at the time. So we kind of started to learn more about the family, the history, the distillery itself, the region, you know, the agave, all these different things. They were selling their agave to basically, they were contracting their agave out to other distilleries to use as production of other tequilas. And he's like, well, if you guys want to do this, let's talk about this. And so that kind of set off the wheels in motion. And we just started kind of building off that initial meeting, talking about it. And they said, well, we have some tequila now. We could put it in a bottle and send it when you send your shoes back in a container, put some tequila in. And when Zach and I were like, well, that's all fine and dandy. But if we want to come back and know something, we want to know something other than just being consumptionists. We want to learn about it. So they set about, and we set about on a plan to learn everything about it. And we went back and forth. So we can go back and forth for 8 years learning about it. It took us 5 years to figure everything out to launch. We've only been selling for 2.5-3 years. And it was just, they took a chance on us. And frankly, I think we took a chance on them. We visited some other distilleries. Juan Francisco took us a few other places. And Zach and I asked him a lot of questions. And he's like, you guys, I just don't know everybody here. This is a good relationship. Let's work with these people. This would be fun. And we did. We put the wheels in motion that day, the first meeting, and we kind of dove into it. Like, we've done everything else, you know, we'll figure it out later. And we said, let's work together. And they said, thankfully, they said, yes, let's do that.
Wow. So you guys are the proverbial bull in the china shop. When you're going to make something happen, you just go in there and make it happen. That's pretty awesome.
We asked around and we did a lot of reading. Asked Juan Francisco a lot why we were working on the paperwork with the TTNB and the Oregon Liquor Commission. We did all that paperwork, everything ourselves, while we were getting our marks in Mexico made. He helped us with that. So we challenged and asked questions of things that we thought we were reading about how to make tequila and all these kind of things. And we just trusted them and had a relationship. And he's like, if we're going to do it, we just need to work with his family. I know them. I know their tequila. And we just, like, we end up diving head first in.
Yeah, they were making other brands at the time. They were like, one of the original brands was like Oro Azul. They had a house brand. They had a family brand. They had just some, you know, some stuff they were making in small batches for local restaurateurs who wanted their own house tequila for their little restaurant in the neighboring communities. And they weren't really producing a lot. They were producing for or had been producing for Herencia Mexicana. And that was it. And so we saw an opportunity to say, hey, look, we could help you. And frankly, Zach and I wanted something fun to do. The shoe thing and kind of started to stall out. We didn't know we could get it across the finish line. And so we kind of like pivoted and said, well, let's do this. And we weren't going down there interviewing master distillers. We weren't looking around for this, and the other. We weren't chasing clout. We were just like, all right, let's just do this. It's fun. We need something to spark, you know, to jumpstart us again. Like I said earlier, you do something for so long, it becomes stale. And that doesn't mean it's bad. It doesn't mean it's terrible. It just means sometimes you get stuck in a rut. And to get out of that rut, you look for something else to bring you joy and happiness. Zach and I knew we loved going to Mexico. We know we love the people. It's a family first place. Zach and I are huge family guys. Families are everything to us. I always say this, we're a friends and family brand above everything. We don't need to be everything to everyone. And this distillery was that. They were like I watched that movie, Walter Mitty, the other day, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. There's a spot at the end where the Sean Penn's the photographer, and Ben Stiller, Walter Mitty goes on this adventure to find him, and he rides over the place and he runs into him. He's got a picture of a snow leopard, and he says something like, not all beautiful things need attention. And this distillery was this beautiful thing to Zach and I that didn't really need attention. It wasn't getting attention. And we were like, that works for us. We're not looking for attention. We're looking for something to be happy about again, right? Something to like really gets us out of bed in the morning. This isn't get rich quick. It's get out of bed in the morning, be happy. And that's what tequila is for a lot for Zach and I. And we've been so lucky to have been brought into this family, to be entrusted with them, with their familial secrets, with their familial product, with the labor of their love. And it's special. It's special, man. And we are all about trying to build this as authentically and it doesn't have to be everything to everyone. We're not trying to go all these different places. Just want to be something cool to good people and places. And that, I think that's what's cool about tequila. We drink our tequila, but we also celebrate all the other people we've been introduced to. We get to go to these other distilleries and meet these people and get invited in. We knock on the door at the thing. They're, oh, Los Grandotes, come in, the big guys. And they got all these nicknames for us. And it's special. It's a special feeling to recognize in a community that's not your natural community, to be welcome into it is something cool. And so I'm on this long-winded ramble now. I could go forever. I get excited about it because this is something that's brought Zach and I so much joy. And I hope the passion shines through because it's a passion project. Some people turn 50 and they get a motorcycle or they go on a trip. Zach and I decided we're going to start a tequila brand. And for nothing other than personal enjoyment, I'd be remiss without saying it, this has brought us a tremendous amount of joy. And I hope that if people take one thing away from our brand, it's how much it means to us, how lucky we feel. And that's what we want to bring other people, that same feeling. And so when we go out, that's all the story we try to tell. We luckily met this family that has been making tequila. They needed something. They were kind of stalled out. They were a family business. They were going family strategy. Running family business is tough. Zach alluded to that. We walked away from our family business because working together is tough. Zach and I have a very odd relationship. The fact that we can run a business for almost 30 years together or multiple different businesses is a testament to our communication skills or lack thereof. We don't have a written business plan. We don't have a exit strategy. We don't have a buy-sell agreement. All those people listening now are probably rolling over going, well, these guys have no idea what they're doing. And to an extent, we don't. So we roll with it. And so far, knock on wood, it's worked out.
Well, you're making great tequila. I haven't had the shoes, but the tequila is really good. And I love the 1580. You know, 1580 is a distillery that is really pumping out a couple of really special, really amazing brands. And I did get the opportunity to go there in September and have a cookout with some guys at another brand that's coming out of there. And it seems like the distillery is a family amongst everybody who's part of it. One of the things that I learned, I don't remember what his name is. So you tell me. He is, I believe, the owner of the distillery. Tall,
yeah,
tall, black haired guy.
Francisco.
Bill, is that Francisco? Okay.
Francisco is the, he has taken over, and Zach can probably get into this a little bit better. And that's why our whole brand is built on serendipity and chance meetings and coming full circle. We met them and we first worked with his older brother, or was his brother. And then we started working with his mom and his sisters. And we started going down there and we'd go down for 2 days and we'd go to lunch or dinner and just hang out and drink with them. And they adopted Zach and I like their honorary sons, which is a real special feeling. And we'd go out and joke around with them and tell jokes. And all our whole thing was just all about making them laugh. I don't even know how much business we got done or how much other than trying to tell jokes. And they thought that was funny and that was endearing to them. But then, as families work, things happen and things play out. And so they called Francisco back from his place in California where he was living to come back and take over the distillery. So he didn't know us. We didn't know him. There was a new transition that we had to work through and build a new relationship with another member of the family. Sure, the mom and the sisters can all say, oh, Seth and Zach are great. They're trustworthy. They mean well, but you know, then you got to start over and work with Francisco. And so we've had a great approach to working with him. And Zach can kind of tell you the story. He's actually used to live in Oregon and know some of the same places. And so it was so funny to connect with him in that way.
Yeah. So after Gabriel Francisco, one of his older brothers, passed away, his mom took over the distillery to keep it within the family and running. And as she was getting older and in her mid-70s, she was having some health issues with some stuff. And they needed some help with the farm and the distillery. Francisco was living in San Diego at the time after he was living in Oregon and Eugene. And they called him back to the distillery. And right before that, we were going back and talking to Senora a lot and really trying to get a business relationship going as we were finalizing all of our paperwork and really trying to figure out how we're going to get it and how we're going to actually get it in a bottle and ready to go. And my wife's like, you've been going down there for 3 years for shoes. You've been going down there for 3 years for tequila. And you don't have, besides a sample of tequila that's already gone and three pairs of boots, you have nothing to show for it.
Well,
and
we have memories. Exactly.
She's like, let's do something here. You're going away. We got the two daughters at home. She works full time. And she's like, I don't want you calling me from Mexico to go check on your shoe store. So figure that out or whatever. We end up even diving in even head first, got everything, started ordering it. And then right after our first batch of summer of 22, Francisco ended up coming back to the distillery and working. And he's the youngest of all the siblings in the Lopez family. And he was there when he was a young child in middle school. And that's when he first met Juan Francisco. And basically he had to learn the tequila business. I mean, it's in his blood. It's in his family. It's his agave. It's all the community that's still been working on that farm for so many years. And he came back to keep it running because if it wasn't for him, they might've sold it. This is before these other great brands came in there, that kind of thing. It took Seth and I a few years to get ours finished. It's awesome that the two other brands, Mosto and Ensueño, and they're working on a couple other ones now, have come in there. It's going to keep those people employed. All those people live in the community right below the farm in Jesus Maria. The girls that are working on the labels right now, their moms and aunts worked at the distillery. And one of the masters distiller, Morales, she used to work there with Juan Francisco, and now her nieces and nephews work there. I mean, it's just such a small, great community, and we're very fortunate to make our Acre Largo there.
That is just so, so cool. And I just realized I said the name wrong in the very beginning.
No, there's no wrong way of saying the name. As long as we're talking about it, it's all good.
Come on, I said it wrong. I have to fix that.
Oh,
so when you started out, you kind of worked with them to help create your profile based on what we talked about, right? You didn't want to just have them do it. You wanted to learn it. And then you've launched this repo, which I just popped these tonight, guys. I didn't want to taste them before. I wanted to taste them when we were on together. And they are amazing. And I'm not just saying that because we're here. I looked up, you know, what people had rated them on Agave Matchmaker, which is still hard for me to say, Tequila Matchmaker, and they all had really high ratings. So I had a high expectation going in, and you hit it with the Blanco. And one of my favorite things in tequila is when you get this really great cooked agave flavor in the front, and you get this really balanced cinnamon in the finish. It's one of my favorite flavors in tequila. But your Blanco not only had that cinnamon there for me, but I got like some banana and some pineapple and some melon like flavors in there as well, which is fantastic. Like it's really good. So I just dropped the repo, and I don't know what you're aging this in or for how long, but your cinnamon still stands through. You still have that cooked agave really forward. There's a fruity floral note that's really nice and a really good caramel, like a light caramel butterscotch note in there. So tell me about this repo and what you're doing for aging, because that is really good.
So to be fully honest and transparent, the Blanco that you're drinking is our most newest batch lot, however you want to describe it. We have one label on our Blanco. That's what we're selling. It's in some stores around California, but most of it's in Oregon. The Reposado is from a previous batch of Blanco. When Senora Maria was still at the distillery and she wanted to sell his repo after our first batch of Blanco came out, they didn't have any barrels, and she was coming back into the business and didn't have an avenue of finding barrels. She had a few sources for us to call to try to get extra barrels. And I had a couple ideas, and one of them still back in the playbook, but it's a little bit down the line because it's hard to execute. And so we're back in Oregon and we're trying to figure out what are we going to do for barrels. So we called a couple people in Kentucky, a couple guys in Mexico, barrel brokers. And we got introduced to Westward Whiskey, which is a single malt whiskey from Portland, Oregon. And we had an idea of seeing if we could borrow some barrels or buy the barrels. So Seth and I set up a meeting and they said, sure, we have some barrels. We'd love to sell your barrels. So they gave us a cost and then we had to figure out how to get it to Mexico. So I priced it all out and I realized if they go to the border, they're going to want an invoice and then we're going to have to pay taxes to get them in there. And I'm like, we might have bit off, just like everything else, a little bit more than we could chew. So Seth went back to him and said, hey, can we start a barrel exchange program? And because we can't afford them. And they're like, awesome. We'll give you the barrels. And when you're done with them, bring them back. And we're like, oh, that's a perfect idea. Then we realized the cost of shipping them back. So we ended up shipping 20 barrels of a Westward whiskey. And I think that most of those were all American oak at the time. And the Westward was their flagship whiskey. Whiskey sat in those barrels for about 5 years, 1 month. So we shipped them to the distillery. Miles, the blender at Westward, said, let's rinse them out, hot water, tops and bottoms, and they're good to go. And we rested for 8 months in the barrel, and we thought it was ready at 4 or 5 months of the taste that we enjoyed, and Miles thought so too. But it's a smaller distillery. We didn't have the labels. We didn't have the corks for these bottles because sometimes it takes a little bit of time when you're doing business across border. So he goes, when everything's here, we'll pull them. And so he basically started pulling with 7.5 and 8 months.
It's a great flavor. I mean, this is a great reposado. This, for me, stands up against most reposados that I've had. And I love that. And it's...
Thank you for saying so.
Yeah, it's an easy drinker too. Like, that is easy to drink, my friend.
We're excited about it. You know, like Zach said, everything has happened serendipitously. We didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know barrels from whatever, what kind of barrels or what. But Zach had an idea that like let's try to find some barrels. Our initial thing, we wanted to make everything in Mexico, so it was just easy. Well, you just can't find barrels. Like Zach said, the distillery was, they were in a transition period when we met them. They were not firing on all cylinders. They'd probably tell you that. I think Zach and I'd like to think that we helped bring a little bit of life back into that with just being there at the right place at the right time. So we're like, all right, let's find some barrels. So we helped try to find them barrels. We tried to find us barrels. And the barrels we found just happened to be American single oak whiskey barrels. You know, obviously a lot of tequila or reposado is aged in bourbon barrels. So right there, we were already trying something different going the single malt American whiskey route. But that's just how it's played out. And so now we're just kind of rolling with it. Zach and I love to hear about when people describe what they get on their palates when they taste our tequila, because it helps us then go out and talk about it. Because Zach and I love to talk about it, but the one thing I think that we fail on is the articulation of what the flavor profile is, because our palates are not refined. Zach and I drink tequila Coke or Char Negros, you know, pretty religiously. And so I think we've washed our palates with probably too much sugar. And so I'm not trying to say that we don't appreciate it, but it's fun to hear it from other people. And I think that's what we get enjoyment out of, sharing with other people, listen to say good or bad. It's fun to hear what they have to say. They're drinking it. We're drinking it together. I mean, that's what it's all about. I think that's what's so cool about agave. It brings so many people together, this whole world of agave. Zach and I knew nothing about it, you know, and we went to college in San Diego. We used to cross the border all the time and go into Tijuana. And first we'd start to get on the cab and we'd go to Revolucion and we'd go listen to, you know, terrible music and drink dollar beers and whatever, 50 cent tequila shots, and you get on you'd walk back across the border and then you'd make your way back to where you lived. And then we're like, that just wasn't enough anymore. That experience just wasn't enough. So we started going to the border and then we started, well, screw it, I'm not gonna get the cab, we're gonna walk. So we'd go to the border in Tijuana and we'd walk into the middle of the city 15-20 minutes and we'd stop at a place and there'd be a little restaurant and we're like, all right, stop here, we'll have some tacos and some beer. And so we started meeting some of the families who own these little restaurants at the border. And it turns out a lot of them were from Jalisco and they had moved closer to the border to have their families have the opportunities for their kids to go to school in America. And so we started. And so the more we'd go back to these same places, like we were going a lot and because it was cheap and we were 18 or 19 and it was just easier than having a fake ID at that point. So we'd go and they're like, you guys come here a lot. This is fun. You know, let us share some of our stuff with us. And they'd go in the back and they'd bring out these little totes that their families from Jalisco would send them at the border to drink. Cause it wasn't the tequila we were drinking on in the tourist area where the college kids were, the Navy SEALs guys were all drinking. These were family brands. And so Zach and I, this is awesome. We got to start coming back here. We were like, hey, what if we brought like 50 people back and you can hire a DJ and we could do tacos and we could do dollar beers and dollar tequilas. They're like, oh, would you do that? We're like, sure. So we just, there was no phones or it was all based on trust and our word. And so we'd say, all right, we'll go back and we'll do that. And so we'll say, we'll be here, whatever, September 17th we'll bring 50 people. So Zach and I would go back to campus, tell everybody we found this amazing place in Mexico for $10. You can get on the bus and we'll get you so we'd rent a school bus and we get all these people. We take them to the border and we take them over to somebody's little mom and pop taqueria. It was a nice little spot. They'd have a DJ and we'd hang out and drink and then we'd go back to the border. And that's how Zach and I really kind of started to get involved with like different tequila than what was, at that point. And that was our really first introduction to it. So that's how Zach and I started really getting involved. Our affinity for Mexico really took shape. And to come full circle now to be actually doing business across the border, to be somewhat respected in our community, our little Los Altos community family. We always say amigos siempre when we go to the distillery, friends forever. It's fun. And that's what we want to keep alive, the ability to keep going back and forth and building this slowly and surely. And the barrel exchange program, or the BEP, is just part of that, and now we're getting other barrels and we're getting other things, and nothing we're doing is really planned. I know that sounds kind of terrible, but we're planning batches, but beyond that, that's all we're planning. And then letting everything kind of fall into place as it may. Zach single-handedly got us all the import export license, all the proper certifications, the TTNB. He works very hand in hand with getting that. That's why Zach and I work well together. Zach is so good at like the logistical part of stuff, like the stuff that you wouldn't have patience for. And so we're able to do a lot by doing it ourselves. And so that's really the fun part about building a brand from the ground up. And that's why it's so, well, I keep saying the same thing, fun to share it with people. And so to do that, to do all those different things and then get to the point where you actually bring it to market, that's awesome. Like we've already accomplished so much.
I'm picturing that there's a sales guy in this group that comes up with these ideas and gets it sold. And then there's another guy in the group that has to figure out how to make it all really happen. Am I right?
Maybe that guy.
That guy down there.
Well, it's one of us. Yeah, obviously I'm long-winded and I get real fired up about stuff. And Zach defers to me to let me do that. And I'm thankful that he lets me just kind of get on my roll and just keep going with it. And which is, it's been a good partnership. But I would be remiss with saying Aqua Largo would not be Aqua Largo without Zach. The fact that he was able to figure out how to get barrels back and forth. I mean, the guy, it's fun about it. It's like the guys from Mosto called us like, hey, we're at 1580 and we're sitting here talking to the family. Could you tell us a little bit about us? Instead of Zach and I going, oh no, that's competition. We're like, sure. We took a couple calls with them. We helped them out. We've helped other brands find corks. We have friends who make corks. We have friends who make bottles. We have friends who make labels. Being ever present in the community has been the so fun. Like, we met a guy in a plane one time and I from a different brand and he was going down there and we're like, oh, this is so cool. What brand is yours? And he's like, well, XYZ brand. And we're like, oh, that's so cool. Where do you go? He's like, oh, it's, and Zach's like, well, that's made at the distillery kind of right by ours. And he's like, yeah, yeah. And we're like, well, where do you stay? Where do you eat? He's like, oh, I don't go up there and stay. I don't do that. I just go up and take a couple pictures and I taste something. I go back to the fancy hotel in Guadalajara and go out for the night. I'm like, why? He's like, oh, I don't know. And Zach and I go out karaoke singing with the people from the distillery. We go to the speakeasy. We go to the place where you walk into a dark alley and find a red door and you knock on it and they open it up. And you go sit upstairs so nobody can find you. To really experience it, you got to just dive in and immerse yourself in it. And so I think that's why we've had so much fun doing it, is the immersion. It's like like some people go to a semester abroad in college. Well, we didn't get to do that. So now we're doing tequila abroad in Mexico.
And to visit places like Jesus Maria, Arandas, Tatanico, Tepa, these towns, they're Capilla de Guadalupe, to go downtown and eat in Capilla right there by the church and experience not only this amazing food, but they have great tequila in these places too. And then the people, you said it, the people are so inviting. It's amazing how they become fast friends and fast family.
Yeah.
And that to me is just the most impressive thing about going, I want to say to the region, but it's Mexico. When you go to Mexico, like what we talked about before, we have friends in Cabo San Lucas that we see once or twice a year that are as good as friends as we see every day where we've grown up, So for all the people that are afraid to travel and hear all these warnings about traveling to Mexico, just don't miss out on the beauty of this country and the beauty of the people that are there. It's really impressive.
Yeah, you can heed the warning, but you can't let it dictate your life, right? You can be safe and selective, but you can't let it rule your life. And I think you know, that I think Zach's wife had pointed out a few times, like, hey, if you guys are gonna go down there, let's get something done. And so I'd like to say this online. Zach and I are more than trophy husbands. We actually brand, we actually work, we go to work, we do things, we try hard, we try to make people proud around us. I hope our families can see that.
Well, I know this. If I'm a trophy husband, it's a participation trophy. That's all it is. I'm telling you right now. All right. Well, let's talk. You guys sent me a couple of little bottles here, these little guys. So this means you've got some special things going on. So can we dive in and talk about these little guys?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Let's do that.
Before we dive in those two, going back to the original Reposado, when we ship back the barrels back to Westward Whiskey, they ended up finishing a whiskey in them for another like 17 or 18 months. Westward Whiskey, this released for their whiskey club, a whiskey that were from the Aqua Largo barrels. So
oh, no kidding. Have you tasted it yet?
And I got to taste it in a barrel like at 130, 140, and it's good stuff.
So did some of the agave carry through into the flavor of the whiskey?
So they mixed it. I think they took like 15 of the barrels and so it was 15 barrels of Acre Largo. And then they took a half a barrel of a mezcal barrel that they weren't 100% sure where it came from. Hmm. Miles, the master blender, said it was one of the better ones he's had. And, so about 2 weeks ago, we brought Miles from Westward down to the distillery. And at the distillery, we have some new barrels that is resting with this new batch of Blanco that you have in the barrels. And most of the barrels are going to be oak barrels from Westward. And I remember when I picked up the barrels, they all had a name card on them, where they're from, how long the whiskey was in there. And one of the barrels said sourdough on them. I'm like, so I thought that was interesting. Then I also wanted, my wife's like, let's do a Rosa. How about a pink tequila? And I have friends that drink tequila, but all my friends don't like to drink a lot of tequila. But if we had a pink one, that might be fun. And I remember going to Cabo a lot and seeing Rosa tequilas. And I'm like, oh, that'd be perfect. So we wanted to do something from the Northwest. And there's a company up here called Argyle. And I just randomly reached out to Argyle because it's a place that my wife and I like to enjoy. And we like to drink their sparkling wine. And I reached out to someone in marketing and they wrote back and goes, I don't know what you're asking for. Why don't you check someone in sales? And whatever, went back to marketing. And within 48 hours, I had the winemaker, the assistant winemaker, the PR guy said, this sounds amazing. How many barrels do you want? Do you want to pick them up tomorrow?
Wow.
So we went out there and talked about it. So we sent down a few barrels of a Pinot and a few barrels of a Chardonnay. The Chardonnay barrels just got pulled this week. Pinot, we're going to let go longer. So we're going to come out with a Rosa Hoven. The labels are picked out. They're going to go to the CRT next week to get approval on them. And we'll, after the Pinot rests for a little bit longer, because we still want to keep the pink tint. So one of those you have there is the first ones that was pulled. The one that has a pink tint, I forgot to label them.
You did.
I think it's the one on your right, maybe.
This one here?
Hopefully you can tell the difference. There's a little bit of...
Yes, this one has a little bit more of a pink tint, like when I look at the top in the light. So, and I may be able
that
to tell...
Is
I may half, tell more in the glass.
So that is basically about 50 days pulled, half Chardonnay, half Pinot, diluted to 40.
Okay.
We're excited about this one. I think that's... It's been fun. So Zach has some great ideas about how to do collaborations. And what we thought would be is kind of come into the market with different little insertions, like, oh, we'll get a couple barrels of Rosa and we'll do a Rosa and we'll do this and keep kind of some local ties, you know, keep us letting people up here enjoy what we're doing down there.
I can pick up a little bit of a grape note in the nose, which I wasn't expecting. I've been tasting a lot of roses lately. You know, there's some great roses that have recently come out over the last few months, and I've got the opportunity to taste those. None of them have that note in the nose. I still get cooked agave, but there's a grape note on that.
Do you think that's a good thing?
Yeah. Okay, that has a really nice heat to it, almost like a jalapeno heat going into the finish. So instead of a dry tannic note like I get in some of the wines, it's a Rosa barrels or anything, you know, French oak, I get like this nice, man, it's like jalapeno. It like this slowly heats with a vegetal note. There's a great fruit note to it, a great floral note. The agave's there. That is really good.
That's fun.
Fun is a perfect word to it. The flavors that are there are tequila, but different. Like, and really good flavors, because that cinnamon note comes into the finish with that and the jalapeno, and it's not like hot. It's got a nice, you know, rundown, and then I get a little caramel in the finish too. This has got a lot of, this is one that I probably will taste 100 different things in. It's like so, and yeah. I wish I was eloquent. Like I have a friend, there's a podcast called the Whiskey Tequila Fridays show. So if you haven't heard that podcast, Whiskey Tequila Fridays, Matt's the whiskey guy, Drew's the tequila guy, and they each bring a tequila and a whiskey and they taste them together. And
that's nice.
Drew's like me. He picks up a lot of stuff, but Matt's like, oh, that's cucumber on a Tuesday in the eighth grade. You know those guys? I'd love to hear him take this apart because it has so many flavors.
So we were there and we sent a list down to Francisco and Balta, the distiller, and we said, we're going to come down. Can we pull them and have everything prepared? So before we blended them, we had a sample of the tequila and the Pinot and a sample of the one, the Chardonnay, and they were awesome. They were awesome by themselves, but we're a small brand. They get labels, they get approval, they get everything. We just decided we can't try this small single barrel and do it, because every time you have to figure out a new SEC code to ship, you have to get a new UCP code. And when there's two of us that were doing it ourselves, we decided let's just go with back to the original and we'll just blend them.
I gotta say, I really was impressed with your repo, but gosh, they're both so good.
That's one we're gonna sample here in a minute.
We just spent 48 hours at the distillery sipping these. Well, they started the sipping, and then it started, like, goes back to the theme of Acre Largo, the consuming, together for two straight days. And we all said the same thing. And I think the end of the day, I think the general consensus was it was just a fun 2 days, because we were just drinking amongst friends, and to see ideas come to life, right? Just to, hey, we're going to get a couple of barrels. We're going to ship them down there, and we're going to spend the time and extra money to see if we can make it happen. And then to see it come to fruition and get to taste the final product. Well, it's not the final product, but, you know, some version of what it is going to be at the end. It's pretty cool. And then be able to talk about it and then hear so much positivity that comes out of, like, an idea that was born just of Zach's wife saying, oh, we should have a pink tequila. That would be fun. A label, right? And so to hear somebody get enjoyment out of other than us it's pretty cool.
What do you got in this other one over here?
Instead of them pulling X amount of samples from each barrel, just to make it easy for them so we could talk about it and enjoy it, we wanted to see the coloring of this one of the oak ones they were going to leave for a reposado. And going back to it, they're all labeled with different years, different lots from Westward, and this one said sourdough. I emailed Balta and Francisco. I'm like, can you pull a certain amount from sourdough and leave it at barrel strength so we could test it? So getting down there with Miles from Westward, we asked what the sourdough barrel was, and he said it's originally from a whiskey we did with Ken's Pizzeria. Ken's Pizzeria, there's two in Oregon now. One of our friends actually now runs and operates Ken's, and it was from a Miles and Ken, the guy that started Ken's Famous Bakery and Pizza, which now it's the top 50 pizzerias in the world, brought down an original sourdough starter from a couple hundred years ago that originated in France. And they're drinking one night and said, bring it down to the distillery and let's see if we could ferment something with the yeast. And so they made a very small batch. He said it was awful, but after a couple times doing it, they now have a whiskey started with a sourdough yeast. And they only release it every couple years, and it's one of their whiskey club's favorites. And I'm like, this is weird. We're good friends with Peter and the guys at work and operate Ken's Pizza now. Let's see if we can do something together. And this one came out about, I think it's 46 or 47% still. We pulled out of the barrel less than 60 days, and we're going to do a little collaboration with Ken's Pizza for their anniversary coming up next year. And we're going to have, I think, 200 to 220 bottles of it with Ken's logo on it that will be sold in Oregon in his restaurants.
It's got a nice caramel note to it.
So it'll be, and this is a nod to a tequila that's made at 1580 here in Sueño. They do a barrel rested Blanco. So that we're going to make a one single barrel of barrel rested Blanco. Salud, Tierra de Sueño, for the idea. And we're not trying to chase anything or copy them, but it just became such a fun idea to try it. After trying some of their good tequilas, that why not try one of our own?
You should try to make the oldest Blanco of all time.
Yeah, we joked about that at the distillery, kind of come up with some sort of play off that, but we're not smart for that. We can't
figure out how to add one more second to the day.
Yeah, And so we actually said we're going to go down a leap year and try it. We're going to make a leap year tequila, maybe.
There you go.
It's so got we have a
really nice caramel note, but there's a note there that I can't put my finger on.
So besides Miles from Westward, we have a friend, Chewy, that runs the Pacific Northwest Agave Club. And okay. Chewy came with us to the distillery, and we were testing this about 50 days. And Miles and Chewy is like, why is this going to last longer in the barrel? This thing is ready to go now. And so that's when we came up with the idea that let's do a barrel rested. And with Ken's, I called the guys from Ken's and was sending them pictures. And they said, we would love to collaborate or have that for our anniversary to give the customers and sell it at our pizzerias.
Yeah.
What ABV did you say this was?
This is, hold on. I got the bottle here.
Did you say 46? I would have never guessed. I would have never guessed this was above 40. This is actually the heat, the jalapeno heat in this Rosa is warmer than what this is to me.
Actually, I kind of got that as well. But again, now I've had a few different ones here. So
and the first one, Rosa, you definitely saw a different hue. So you think it was the pinker one for sure?
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
I'm sitting with the pinker one for sure. And I can see even through the screen. Like there.
Yeah. And looking into the glass, you know how the Glencairn, when you look down into the Glencairn, this one is a light golden hue and this one is pink. Like I can see it right into the glass. You probably can't see it in the screen, but definitely could tell. As soon as I poured them in the glass, the pink stood out.
And then with our last batch that we did of the Blanco, we had a little bit left over and then we could have mixed it or we didn't. We had a couple other barrels that we have there right now that were a little bit bigger than a traditional 200 liter barrel. So we ended up with a little extra Blanco sitting in a stainless steel tank. So we're going to have a tequila coming out in January, a limited release. And it wasn't intended, but it's going to be Sin Fuerte. And you didn't get a sample of that because we drank it all. Yeah. But we'll have a limited release because we figured we really enjoyed this batch of Blanco that we have. And so we're like, we could blend it with something else that the distillery had from a previous batch. But we said, let's just take what we have at the 50% and this whatever we have left, we're going to bottle as a Sin Fuerte.
High proofs are so popular, especially amongst the agave nerds. And they resonate so well and they have so much agave flavor that everybody loves them. So that's fantastic coming out with that.
Yeah.
Is there an añejo in the future?
We've had an añejo. We had we did a single barrel añejo. We did 218 bottles and on it, it was 19 months in a barrel. And we didn't know how to bring it to market because how do you make enough? How do you get on a shelf? How do you do all the different stuff? So we made it and then we sold it for charity. We just partnered with the charity here, had an agave club, kind of a bottle share where people could order a bottle. And then everybody came and picked up the bottle. Then we just consumed most of them together. It was a pretty fun evening. So those are the kind of little things we like to do. Like I said, it's not get rich quick. It's get out of bed in the morning, be happy. And so being able to try all these different things and the relationships that we've created with the Argyle wine people, with the Westward people. Now other people are approaching us. Hey, do you want to try one of our barrels? And so we thought about making like a city edition one. Like my daughter goes to school in Arizona. We'll meet with a whiskey maker in Arizona and Tucson. We're like, let's get a couple of your barrels. We'll make a Tucson city edition. We'll make a this city and just try to be things to different little markets and create little collaborations so everybody can join it. Everybody should be able to join in on it.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And if you do another charity thing like that, let me know because I would love to be involved in getting some bottles and doing that. And I have a friend that makes a really phenomenal whiskey called Fortune's Fool.
Okay.
And the thing that makes her whiskey so amazing are the barrels. And I know that, you know, hers is a bourbon and you only can use those once. So I may be able to help you broker another cool a bourbon barrel option in the future.
That'd be fun. And we could do that for your Indianapolis release party, your concert thing. That'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. We'll figure something out. Who knows? That'd be very cool. All right. So I want to ask you guys, this is, I want to go back. So where did the name come from? How did you guys come up with this name?
So Acre was going to be the name of the footwear. And we were going back and forth about how it was going to look on the shoes. And we're going to have it all branded. I'll get into this. When we went to talk to like an alcohol lawyer to protect our name, they're like, you can't just use Acre or Acre. It's a one word thing that it leaves too much for cross contamination, too much for other people using that one word. It just doesn't work. So we were like, we got to come up with a secondary thing. And so as we always do, we're joking around, talking it out, and we're like, Acre Hermanos, Dos Acres, Acre, whatever, this, this, and this. And Zach's like, what about Acre Largo? And I was like, oh, man, that's effing rad. Because Longacre is our last name, and Acre Largo in Spanish is Longacre. And I was like, Zach hit the nail on the head on that one. And I was like, when he said that, I got goosebumps. Now I'm just saying it. Now I have goosebumps. And so how it all played out was great. And if you look at the bottle, if you look at the little stick figure, it's kind of up for interpretation. Our interpretation of it is it's a burro. And at first it was just going to be a little kind of embossing detail that it was kind of be cool. That'd be kind of embossed in the leather shoes. And then we're like, well, we kind of made a story with it. You know, in the old days of the original days of tequila, the burro was an integral part of the process of tequila making. It would pull the tahona around. And so where this is kind of our tip of the hat or a nod to the burro that used to do all the work. He's just sitting down after a long day of pulling the tahona to enjoy a tequila. And that's kind of what our thing. Some people think it's a teepee. Some people think it's an A and an L for Acre Largo. So it's whatever you want it to be. It's up to your imagination.
I thought it was a horse. Like the first time I seen it.
Well, there you go.
It's,
we get a lot of teepee.
If I had to dry a horse, that's what it would look like if I drew it.
Okay. Well, that's the extent of Zach and I's artistic ability. So that's why we have the sticker. We're kind of a less is more, the minimalistic approach.
Yeah, I think outside of me looking like your really little brother when we hang out, I think we're the same simple-minded group of folks, and I absolutely love that.
100% agree. Just people enjoying what they get to do.
Now, so I lost over 50 pounds over the last 24 months training and running marathons, okay? And you said they had a name for you as a tall person in Mexico. What was that name?
They call us Los Grandotes. Or Los Gigantes.
Okay, so they used to call me El Gordo.
I actually know what that means.
Yeah, not anymore. I ran that off. I got tired of the name El Gordo. So I had a guy in Cabo rub my belly and go, El Gordo.
That came from a place of love, though.
Sure it does. He wanted to give a fat guy a massage. That's what that's what he was saying.
Yeah. See? You make fun of yourself and still get up the next day and keep going.
Heck yeah, that got me running though. Okay, so this is a question I love to ask, and I want you to answer this kind of independently of each other, because you already have a brand that you built. You built this huge company and you got a lot of fun behind it, and now you have this tequila. So if you could sit down and share this tequila with any person, alive, not alive, family, famous, whoever it would be, that you want to sit down and tell your story of this and share this tequila and drink it with them, who would that person be?
All right. I'm going to go something super simple. I'm going to say probably my grandfather, my mom's dad. And the reason I say this is because, you know, as you grow up, you have people who are your support system, people who are your, what you would call your people, people who get behind you. And like, no matter what you do, they are proud of you. And this guy and my grandmother were those people. No matter what Zach and I did, he would go around and tell his friends, my grandsons did this, this, and this. Right. And so I think he'd be so immeasurably proud of who Zach and I have become and what we've been able to do as people, as brothers, as family, that I think it would bring him to tears. And to be able to share that with him now, to know how much he has helped Zach and I get to the people that we are today, I think that would be the person I would go back and want to share that with. Him and my grandmother, I mean, you could go around the world talking about famous people, but the people that mean the most to you, and that's what Acre Largo is supposed to be, it's just about sharing things with the people who mean the most. And that's why it's so cool to have our name on it in its own way. When we started the store, he tried to help fund us and we turned him down. And he was like so proud that we wouldn't let him do it. And so to be able to say, hey, grandpa, we did this, this, and this, I think that would be super, super special.
Very cool. What about you, Zach?
I mean, I did owe to Seth because he was a big inspiration. He used to love the drink.
That's true.
My dad's still with us. We see him 3 or 4 times a week and have dinner with him, but he gave up drinking a while ago because he's much smarter than the rest of us. So maybe we rewind 10 years ago with a tequila company. We could sit down and drink tequila with dad all night.
Yeah, that might be better than what I said, because our dad is obviously our everything. Our parents are. They're great people, but he stopped drinking and he goes around. He's our number one salesperson. He goes to people's, he's got cards. He's got cases of tequila in his back trunk. The guy comes over to help him, like, you know, fix this broken sink. Hey, take a bottle of this tequila. And this is so to see that enthusiasm, even though he can't even enjoy it, but he enjoys us and what we've been able to do and our families. And so I hope, again, that's I don't want to steal Zach's thunder, but I have to definitely get in on that because I'm all about what he just said there. It's true. He doesn't, he could drink if he chose to. He chooses not to. And that's, he's been on a better path because of it. But it'd be super fun to be able to share one with him other than him smelling it and going, oh, I wish I could drink this, but it's probably better that I don't, which is also a funny thing to say at the same time. So he kind of makes fun of this whole situation. As you can see, that Zach and I kind of like to kind of, where it's all about camaraderie and joking. But there's a serious side to us. And the serious side of us is our families have propped us up so much to help us get to where we are today. I'm so excited to see where we can take this and continue to hopefully make them proud.
Yeah, right. There's no doubt. That's awesome.
It would be awesome to be able to take my dad down to the distillery, get Juan Francisco, Francisco's mom, and Francisco to be able to sit around and cheers to who we met and the friends and family that we have, and that we could all be there to unwind together and celebrate life and the agave that brought us all together.
Yeah. We live in a crazy time full of people who get bent out of shape about a lot of different things. And I think Zach and I would tell you, we spent a fair amount of time during COVID getting really bent out of shape about how the state of the world was affecting our businesses, our ability to function as a family, our kids not be able to go to school. And without getting too much into it, I mean, we spent a lot of time on Twitter anonymously arguing with people. And it's sad and sick and wrong. But that's just the truth. And to come out of it bruised, but not broken, with this to show for it and to be able to push forward and kind of like create new avenues of happiness and success for us, our friends, our family is what it's all about, really. I mean, we got pretty bogged down for a long time there where everything kind of, the perfect storm fights against you and there's a lot of outside noise. And to be able to escape across the border, to know that you, not only your family here was here, but you created this new little subset family there, and to be able to work together to kind of build something we could all be proud of is we're blessed people. And I know that sounds corny, but it's the truth.
It doesn't sound corny at all. I mean, when you can sit back and look at your life and realize how blessed you are from the things that have happened, the people that have been put into your life, the people that you've been able to touch and help, the measure of the man isn't what they have accumulated when they go. The measure of the man is what the people that are left think about that person and the life that they lived. And that's really lots more important than everything else, right? So cheers to that.
Salute to that, Brad.
Well, I can't wait to be able to tell my friends who live in Stanton, Oregon.
Nice.
That there's a tequila that they can go buy. I'm fired up about that. And I've got some friends that are just across the Oregon line there in Washington, and they're always asking me what tequila to buy as well. These are all Cabo people that we've met and hang out with every year. So you're on the list for them to be able to go find this. I'm glad that it's going to be local for them. That's really cool. One, I want to say thanks for sending these bottles. And two, most importantly, thanks for taking your time away from running a couple of businesses and your families and spending your time with me here today. I really, really, truly do appreciate it. Tell everybody where they can find you and your website.
So our website is aquelagro.com. It will ship to 48 or 50 states right online. It's very affordable for a small craft family brand. Please, if you need a new bottle for your shelf to drink or share with a friend or have a sip and give it to someone else, see if you don't like it, buy a bottle. Give us a chance.
There's no way nobody's not going to like this. This is phenomenal tequila now.
We wanted to come to market at a kind of an approachable price. Zach and I are non-pretentious people. I think you can gather that from listening to us. We wanted to have something that, you know, hey, I always said to Zach, we should have $100 you should have an Acre Largo party. You get a bottle of Blanco, you get a bottle of Repo, you get a bag of ice, you get a couple of mixtures, you got an Acre Largo party, right? And that was kind of the idea of what we wanted our brand to be. Because we wanted people to be like, go to the store and know that I'm getting something craft that's supporting this little cool community down in this little small region in Mexico, but you're getting something that came from somebody's heart, that came from somebody's blood, sweat, and tears that means so much to so many people to be able to sell it at what, you know, let's be real frank and honest. The difference Zach and I make between selling a bottle at $40 at retail or $50 is 50 cents a dollar, right?
Right.
Is that going to move the needle for anybody? Nope. Me? No. That's maybe someday we sell enough and become a volume brand. Great. But at this point, let's get more people drinking it. And so if you go to our website, which is being rebranded now, who knows when that'll be done? Cause we're coming up on our busy season for shoes and socks. We'll keep trying to keep making fun little products, quality products that come from a place of love to share with everybody who's interested, and keep going at a price that, you know, is not going to break the bank, hopefully. Now everybody's got a different budget, but we wanted to set a price that said, hey, try this. And if they do, great. If not, I'll tell you what, as consumptionists, like we've said, there's a lot of other good tequilas out there and we drink a lot of them. I don't have the shelf set up behind me. I've got my little terrible screen thing, but we drink a lot of other ones and I just celebrate what is agave. It truly is one of those truly things that does come from families, generations of families, generations of people who've done something to better their lives and their community's lives. And that's what I think tequila is so cool, because you actually go down, you see it, you drive, like you talk about those roads around there, the agave fields, the blue agave, that runs forever into the distance and the horizon. So, and then the sun sets over it and it's a cool place. If we can't get people down there, hopefully when they drink it, they can kind of taste a little bit of that experience in their mouth.
The sunsets at 1580 are absolutely amazing.
That is the truth.
100% fact. Okay, so one thing I want to jump back to real quick. Can you get the shoes with a bottle of tequila in them?
So we've talked about doing a special, whatever that looks like, but having a special blown glass that looks like a shoe and what our shoe would look like, and do a special edition one of that. And that's kind of something in the works for probably our 5th anniversary, if we make it that far, to do something really cool. We've talked about incorporating like a leather pouch that came from the same place, the leather place, to put it in. There's different things we have in the works that we still talk to all the same people that we've, you know, tried to get the shoe thing off the ground. So we want to go back and make this go full circle.
Well, if you do a bottle in a shoe thing, it's got to be at least a liter or a liter and a half. It can't be a normal size shoe.
Yeah. No, it's going to be a full replica scale. And it might have, a size 16 shoe might actually be like 12 liters. And we might have to get a special permit to sell that.
There you go.
We might just keg it and make a draft out of it.
That'd be fantastic. Well, guys, I want to say thank you so much. I can't wait to meet y'all in person. Your energy is electric. I think it'd be so fun to hang out with you guys in Jesus Maria and go to Arandas and have fun in the town there too. And I just want to say thanks. Thanks for taking your time. Thanks for the tequila. Thanks for your story. And I really appreciate it. So I'm going to cheers this Rosa, because this is so freaking amazing. So cheers to you guys and thank you so much.
Zach, you want to say your final thanks and I'll say mine?
Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to get our name out there to your viewers. Seth and I both watch you. I love the way you talk tequila and just being real in who yourself is. And hopefully one day I or Seth and I can come out to your awesome looking new garage setup in Indiana, or better yet, at the marina in Cabo San Lucas.
That'd be fun too.
Or in Jesus Maria at Polo Santos or the distillery. There's lots of fun places to drink tequila, and hopefully we could do it again one day soon.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Brad, for letting Zach and I come on and talk about something that we're super passionate about. Happy holidays to everybody out there. I hope everybody is surrounded by people that mean the most to them at this time of year. Thank you very much. And I'd also like to say a quick thanks to the guys that make Acre Largo go. Francisco, Baltazar, Danny, Fernando, our team are, while not well-known master distillers or famous people, they are the glue guys who help us get to where we want to go. They let us question them. They let us challenge them. They challenge us back. We bounce ideas off each other. They let us be hands-on, which is probably annoying, but something special is coming out of it, of that kind of like, you know, not butting heads, but getting together and like, you know, chopping it up and mixing up and brainstorming and saying, hey, let's do this at 40% or let's do this at 42%. And Baltazar's like, no, this is better. Just good as is. Right. And all these guys learn from all these famous people you hear about online, that you hear about on Instagram or Facebook or these things. But these guys are part of the fabric of the community. They are there too. They've learned so much from all these people you hear about. And this is Acre Largo, is them putting their best foot forward with us. And so without them, we would be nothing. We'd be remiss without mentioning them as well. So thank you for our opportunity to highlight them, 1580, all the great tequilas they're making, their comeback story that is ongoing, their glow up, whatever you want to call it. Good things are happening. And hopefully we'll continue to be able to do some fun stuff that we can bring to you all. And I can't wait to meet again, either here or in another forum or in person, better yet. So thank you very much, Brad. Appreciate what you do. I appreciate your approachable style to it. You make it welcoming for all the novices and the nerds, like you say. And that's something we should all strive to do. Bring people together from different interests with one common goal.
All right. Cut it off.
Cheers. Thank you very much. It's all about bringing people together. That's what tequila is about. And I love it as well. So thanks for doing this, guys. Appreciate you.
Cheers.
Have great holidays.
Happy holidays.